Welcome to the Grace Hour, the live international talk radio ministry of Greater Grace Church in Baltimore, Maryland. You can join us on the air today by calling 1-800-338-7060 or 410-483-3700 from outside of the United States. Now, here is our host.
And welcome, friends, to this edition of the Grace Hour. Again, we're broadcasting live right from our studios, which are located right here at the home of the Greater Grace World Outreach in Baltimore, Maryland. And we're thrilled to be with you, friends, on this Tuesday afternoon. And thank you for joining us, taking time out of your schedule to be with us. Hope you can stay with us to get things started, of course, with our devotional message. That'll be followed up by your phone calls, as we invite you to join us live in the Grace Hour with your comments, questions, testimonies, counseling needs, and your prayer requests. And we look forward to having you join us. I hope many of you will do just that. When the phone lines are open, dial one of these numbers and join us live. 800-338-7060 is the toll-free number in all of North America, and the local number, 410-483-3700. Broadcast. You may have a question that you'd like to ask. It could be biblically related. We will do everything we can to help you answer that question. A comment that you'd like to make as we discuss our theme this week in the Grace Hour, which is the principle of the anointing and really the power that comes with the anointing of God on each one of our lives. And perhaps a testimony as to what God has done, is doing, or you believe will do in the days to come. Love to hear your testimonies as well. And counseling needs, well, we'll assist you in any way we can. We always enjoy hearing your prayer requests and joining you for whatever those needs might be. Some of those needs are really something that you want the body of Christ around the globe to be praying for. And again, that's why we're here, just to let others know about those needs and to ask them to join us as we all approach God's throne of grace boldly, finding grace and mercy to help in a crucial hour. So you can, again, join us when those phone lines are open. That will follow the devotional portion of our broadcast today. And we welcome you. I want to welcome those of you that are listening locally on WRBS, right here in Baltimore, 1230 on your AM dial. And many of you, no doubt, heard our announcement yesterday that we will won't be broadcasting live on WRBS. Our final day of broadcasting will be February 25th, which is a Friday. And we hope that you'll join us right up until that time. And then following that, we want you to know that we're not going anywhere. We'll still be right here at gracehour.org and YouTube Live and Facebook Live as well. So the Grace Hour, again, you won't find us on the local station here in Baltimore and WRBS, although we do appreciate our relationship with them, a long-standing relationship now that's gone on for years, and we appreciate all that they have done to get the broadcast out locally here in the Baltimore area, and we hope to have a good, long-standing, continued relationship with our good friends over at WRBS on the AM side, and then, of course, many of you tune in and listen to WRBS 95.1 on your FM dial, a very popular station right here in the Baltimore area. So you can still reach us here. We will be broadcasting live Monday through Friday from 1 to 2 p.m. live in the Grace Hour. And again, that's gracehour.org, Facebook Live, and YouTube Live. So again, although won't be broadcasting on our local station, the Grace Hour isn't going anywhere, friends. We'll be here for you each and every day, Monday through Friday. Well, our theme this week in the Grace Hour is, of course, the principle of the anointing. And let me share with you what we read in 1 Samuel chapter 16. And this, of course, is the narrative where Samuel the prophet was sent by God to Bethlehem to anoint the next king of Israel. That, of course, would be David. At the time, Saul had been anointed king. And we also read in 1 Samuel that Saul has been rejected as king by God, and God is seeking out a new king. And of course, the verse that comes to mind is 1 Samuel 16:7, where it says, "And the Lord said unto Samuel, do not look on his countenance." And this is as he goes to the house of Jesse to anoint the next king of Israel. "Do not look on his countenance, nor on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeketh not as man seeth. For man looks on the outward appearance, God looks upon the heart." And then, of course, Samuel proceeded to look at Jesse's sons, from the eldest to the youngest, and every time he assumed that the Lord's anointed or the next king of Israel was before him, the Spirit of God said, no, that's not him. He went right down through all of his sons. And then finally, Samuel had to ask Jesse, do you have any more sons? And he said, well, I do. He's the youngest, and he's keeping the sheep. Samuel said unto Jesse, send, fetch him, and we will not sit down until he comes. Then he went and brought him in. He was ruddy, having beautiful countenance, goodly to look upon. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him. This is he. Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. The Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. Well, think about that. What was the anointing? In the case of David, in the case of God choosing priests and kings and prophets, the anointing was really God's choice. It was God's calling. That was the case with David, and although he was not immediately installed as the next king of Israel, he was chosen. Couldn't the same thing be said about you and I, friends, those of us in the body of Christ, in the kingdom of God today? The anointing upon our lives is the fact that God has called us. God has chosen us. And we are now anointed for whatever it is, whatever the task might be, that God has called us to undertake in the body of Jesus Christ. And for us, that calling, that choosing of God, well, that came in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, before time began and eternity passed. That's when the call of God, the choice of God upon your life took place. And that's what the anointing is all about, where the Spirit of God again comes into our lives. We believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and then we are anointed for our role and our particular portion in the kingdom of God. And we read this great passage in 1 Peter, the fourth chapter. And in that fourth chapter, Peter writes and says, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as of the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do so according to the ability which God gives, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. You can see that every man, every individual that God calls, that God chooses, that's in his church, in his body, in his kingdom, has received a gift. And maybe some have received multiple gifts. Regardless as to whether it's a single gift or many gifts, we are to minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. A measure of grace has been given to each one of us. A measure of faith has been given to each one of us. That's what the anointing is for. And if it's communicating, if it's preaching, if it's teaching, let him communicate as of the oracles of God. Because think about it, our words, well, they mean nothing. They cannot produce life. Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, they are life. And this is why Peter emphasizes the fact that when we do speak, let us communicate the oracles of God. Let's preach his words. And when his words are preached in the anointing or in the power of the Holy Spirit, they are able to penetrate people's hearts. They're able to speak to people's souls. You're able to minister to people, build people up. And whatever the gift might be, if it's speaking, okay, let's speak as of the oracles of God. If it's any kind of ministry, whatever the ability is that God has given, well, let us do so, so that God in all things may be glorified. You know, recently I watched a movie about Mother Teresa, and it was, knowing about her like so many of us have known about her, heard about her, and have some basic understanding of her life and ministry, I was just captivated by the fact that she did not care for any attention regarding herself. All she cared about was to minister to those that had such great needs, the sick, the hurting, those that had been forgotten in the society where she was ministering in Calcutta, India. And she only cared about just ministry. She only cared that if there was going to be any praise, that God would receive it. If there was going to be any glory, that it would be directed toward God. She was always deflecting the glory instead of accepting the glory. And that, you know, just speaks of the fact that when God anoints someone, you know that the anointing is of God, because God is always glorified. God is always exalted. God always receives the praise. You know, you can perhaps discern that something isn't quite right, even though some may say they are anointed, if, again, it's all about them. Because the bottom line in the kingdom of God for all of us, it's not about us. It's about Him. It's about Christ. And when the anointing is present in an individual's life, the results are always the same. Christ is exalted. God is glorified. We see Jesus more clearly. It's not about us. It's about Him. And unto Him goes all the glory. It's not unto us, but unto Him. And the anointing always, again, brings us to a greater understanding of who Christ is. It always brings us to a greater sense of freedom. It always produces a greater sense of rest in our souls. And it always gives us a deeper understanding of the purpose that God has for our lives here on the earth. So the anointing and the principle of the anointing, it's our theme. It's our subject this week on the Grace Hour. We're thrilled to be able to talk about it because of the truth that is contained about this subject in the Scriptures. And then, of course, the experience that so many have had, having been touched by the anointing of God, having been called by the anointing, chosen, and having that anointing upon our lives. Again, it's not something that is only given to those that are, especially super saints in the kingdom of God. Sometimes we think, well, this one's anointed, but is that one anointed? Every believer has received the anointing. We read that in 1 John chapter 2, verses 20 and 27. And when the Spirit of God came into our lives, when we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, when we were sealed by the Holy Spirit, the anointing was present in our lives. You're listening live to the Grace Hour, friends, as we continue to discuss this great theme and to develop it together with you, our listeners. Of course, we always invite you to join us. We'll open those phone lines in just a few moments. Pastor Schaller has joined us in the studio on this Tuesday afternoon, and we hope that you will stay with us. And when the phone lines are open, you can join us perhaps with a comment. You may want to ask a question. We can, again, provide some more insight, understanding on this great theme and subject. I think a subject that may be, in some cases, misunderstood. Maybe there's some confusion about it. Maybe there's some mystery surrounding it. But there shouldn't be. God makes it very clear. It's His calling. It's His choice. It's the Spirit of God in our lives. And it's the anointing that breaks the yoke of bondage.
The filling of the Spirit is really what the Apostle Paul is saying, that we are in Ephesians 5:18, to be filled with the Spirit. In the Old Testament, we see Pastor Love, I'm sure you remember those men who had it in their minds, Exodus 31:3, to build the tabernacle, that they were gifted by God, by God's grace. They knew how to do it. I don't know if that's happened to you, Pastor Love, but it has to me, that I kind of know how to do something. I think about it, and I actually feel that God helps me understand how to do something. The Holy Spirit, the Christian has the Holy Spirit. This is huge effect, huge meaning in that we have the Spirit, who is God, and he actually governs our life. He helps us in our thinking, in our desires. All my springs are in thee, the psalmist said. All my springs are in thee. I think at the end of 87, Psalm 87. So what you're saying this morning, this afternoon, Pastor Love, is that we are anointed. David was anointed. Those men that built the tabernacle were anointed. Of course, Moses was anointed. Noah was anointed. Rebecca, when she watered the camels, I'm sure it doesn't say that, but I'm sure the Holy Spirit had her do that, water the camels, and that was how she ultimately met her husband. Very meaningful today, very important to have our minds and hearts on this subject. In 1 Thessalonians, it says, quench not the Spirit. So it's like a fire. The Holy Spirit is like a fire, and to quench it, pour water on it, or extinguish it somehow. That, can that happen? Yeah, in my life, there is this approach that God has, is I'm not taking over without you. I'm here, and I want you. How does it go? Psalm 51, create in me a clean heart, renew a right spirit in me, take not your Holy Spirit away from me. You know, the desire that the believer has when he becomes a believer and he starts to walk by faith, is that he would be filled with the Spirit. The Spirit would be affecting him and enlightening his eyes, helping him understand, comforting him emotionally, bringing him peace. Even our physical body, it says he gives his beloved sleep in Psalm 4. I believe it may be Psalm 3 as well. He gives his beloved sleep. We have body, soul, and spirit. We have the filling of the Spirit affecting our spirit. And we are told in Galatians 5:16 to walk in the Spirit. If we have the Spirit in us, as we do, 2 Corinthians 1:21, we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. We are anointed by God. That means the presence of God is in us, that we are indwelt by God. This is the Holy Spirit. Then let's walk in him. Like, meaning, if he indwells the believer, then let us follow the Spirit in the will of God, what the Spirit is doing, what the Spirit is thinking, and we follow him. This is really a great way of living. It affects my eyes. It affects what I look at. It affects my mouth, how I speak. It affects my heart. It affects our whole life. So do not quench the Spirit like extinguish a fire, but feed the fire, like walk in it, like bring the coals together. And let the fire burn, and bring this thought with this thought, and this motive with this one, and this brother with this brother, and bring the fire together and be filled with the Spirit. Then you have the teaching of Ephesians 4, grieve not the Spirit by lying or stealing. And by the way, when you are obeying God and you're finding the joy of just simple obedience with a good attitude, you're looking for the will of God, then you are not grieving the Spirit of God by doing something sinful, lying or stealing or cheating or swearing or being troubled, grumbling in under my breath, angry, bitter. Bitterness can spring up and trouble me, but be filled with the Spirit. So we have quench not, grieve not, and then walk in. And so there is a very good teaching for the believers, is the obedience to the will of God. I think maybe if you want a fresh anointing, anoint me with fresh oil, Psalm 92, verse 10, anoint me with fresh oil, and you're looking for the will of God, obeying God. It could be as simple as going to church. That's obedience to God. Forsake not the assembly. It can be as simple as deciding to love your sister, your brother, your actually a dad loving his children. He might get weary, but go to God, be obedient, or love your children, and you find yourself filled with the Spirit. So how do you handle your money? How do you handle your attitude? How do you, all you have to do is start complaining every day, complaining every day, and you find yourself self-absorbed, pretty sad and miserable and maybe depressed, and it all is because you are grieving the Spirit, quenching the Spirit. You are living like as a miserable person, and you're not waking up to that. So you live like that for years, and you are not being filled with the Spirit. And so our word today is it's a lot better to be anointed of God with fresh oil and walk in the Spirit. It's a lot better to learn to love others and forgive. It's a lot better to be happy and thankful. It's a lot better. It's really a lot better to walk in the Holy Spirit and look for His will in your life. And as you do His will, you will be refreshed. Your youth is renewed like the eagle, Psalm 103. You find yourself enlightened. You find yourself edified and very useful in the kingdom of God. And that sister or that brother that is praising God and is thankful for everything, that brother, that sister who is being filled with the Spirit as a way of life, that person has a ministry. And that's what we're talking about this week. So that's it. Yeah. What do you think?
Oh, I like it. Yeah, it's amazing. That's the anointing. Describe the anointing to a T, the filling of the Holy Spirit, to come under the control of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And, and contrary to what a lot of people think, okay, they might be listening today and think, okay, I got to get more of the Holy Spirit. It's kind of the other way around. The Spirit has to get more of us. there are parts of us perhaps that are not yielded yet to the Holy Spirit or under the control of the Holy Spirit. And I think that that's God's great desire. Not that we would have some of the Holy Spirit, but to be filled with the Holy Spirit.
Okay. So, and the funny thing is, it says, and be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. What are the similarities between being filled with the Holy Spirit and drunk with wine?
Well, when the alcohol is in your system, it controls you. You will do things and say things.
Yes.
And that otherwise you would never do because you're under the control of that alcohol. Well, in a similar way, when we're under the control of the Holy Spirit, we're going to do things that are amazing. We're not going to, you know, be grumpy and complaining and miserable. We're going to be thankful. We're going to be very optimistic spiritually. We're going to be believing God, mixing faith with the promises, having a great uplook rather than, you know, a poor outlook about life.
Okay. So there are human traits that sometimes are embraced by people. Let's say maybe some people say, you know, I am stubborn, you know. Well, wait a minute. Take a look at that. The issue, I think, is are you filled with the Spirit and do you have conviction? That's like not stubbornness. That's like I have persuasion, but I'm very kind. I'm listening. I'm entreatable, you know. A stubborn person is, you know, that's not a great characteristic or a quality for a person when we talk about the Spirit-filled life, you know. Mm. Like, that's a different thing. I have a conviction, but I'm also entreatable. I am kind. I'm humble. I'm pleasant, you know.
Yeah.
Another one maybe would be our self-image, you know. You hear a lot about self-image, you know. You know, how somebody could say, you know, with confidence, you know, I am great, I am the best at what I do, or, you know, something like that. Well, wait a minute. Like, I don't want to do that. I want to be Spirit-filled, and I can have some confidence in the sense that God will help me, but I don't want to be proud. I want to be humble. I want to be Spirit-filled. And there's no way a human being could copy the Spirit filling.
That's right.
It's unique.
Yeah. It's not imitation. You have to be indwelt by the Spirit and controlled by the Spirit. Well, friends, a half hour in the books already. Thanks for joining us. For those of you that have to sign off, we understand. But if you can, find a way to transition over to the internet at gracehour.org. And you can join us for the next half hour. And your phone calls, we're ready to take them. Phone lines are open, and we'll give you those numbers in just a moment. Stay with us. We're back with you live, friends, at gracehour.org and Facebook Live, YouTube Live. Thank you for staying with us. Phone lines are open. This is a great time to go to your phones, fill up those lines, 800-338-7060. And locally, 410-483-3700. And again, join us live with your comments, questions, perhaps a testimony about what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit and what a difference that makes in our lives. We'd love to hear from you. The local number, 410-483-3700. If you're joining us from overseas, please get to your phone, give us a call. We'd love to hear from you and what God is doing in your part of the world as well. And we have brothers joining us today from all the way from Pakistan, the New Hope Christian Church in Pakistan. And one of the brothers there has a question, Pastor Charlotte. What about those people that are always talking about prophecies, having prophecies, that this is the end time? Does this have anything to do with the anointing?
Well, let's see. People doing prophecies are prophesying. Okay, so is prophesying happening today? Yeah. There's two ways the word is used. One is for preaching the Bible, which is what we do. We preach the Bible. The second thing is predicting the future. A famine is coming. Remember, that is in the book of Acts. There was a prophet, Agabus, who predicted that a famine was coming. I remember Dr. Stevens one time saying that China was going to open, and it did. So there are people that could be talking about something that is happening in the future. The thing that maybe we would we don't practice in our church this way, that somebody stands up in the church and prophesies and says something that is biblical. We are and drawing attention to themselves, you know, saying that we are in the end times. Well, okay, is there? That is true. We are in the end times. We believe that. But how? What does it mean? How soon? Nobody knows the day of Christ's return, not even the angels in heaven. Are we in the end times? Probably we are. Okay, so that's said in an assembly. It can be done religiously, like people are doing it. But is it really from God? Is the Holy Spirit speaking? So we have 1 John 4:1-5. We have discernment. There are many spirits that are in the world, and there can be religious spirits that are in a church, that come into a church with somebody with a religious spirit, you know, like demanding for people to listen to them. They might, not in all cases, but this is from our experience, and I would say that the just biblical understanding and the real talk with people in just a very normal way, and the Holy Spirit speaking to us, it isn't something you have to put on, you know, like raising your voice, or you don't have to be like behaving a certain way. It's like if the Spirit is speaking to us, he will speak to us. And the messenger that's doing it is humble. And he has the love of 1 Corinthians 13, the agape love. So we test the spirits. And it doesn't mean that it couldn't be done. It's just that we don't want a legalistic spirit in the church. We don't want some kind of a form of godliness, but we want the power. But the power doesn't mean that you're yelling, you're raising your voice and you're yelling. That's not power. Power is spiritual power is different from that. So without encouraging us to be overly analytical about it, we just have to recognize that that somebody coming into the church to prophesy that we are in the end times is not telling us anything new. We can turn in our Bible and learn it that way. And that we're looking for fellowship. Mm. Well, how would you say it, Pastor?
No, I think you explained it well. I think we just have to be very careful when somebody says that God is telling me to tell you.
Yeah.
You know, when you hear that, it's like, you just can't help but ask the question, well, why doesn't he just tell me?
Or the pastor.
Yeah.
And the pastor opens the Bible and teaches that we are in the end times. I mean, or that we may be in the end times. Let's make it clear. Every century from the beginning, there, church has believed that Jesus is coming back in their time. Well, is that a good thing? Yes, it is a good thing. In the first century, Paul believed he would be raptured. 1 Thessalonians 4. We that remain, right?
Yeah.
We will be taken out. Okay. In the second century, third, Martin Luther in the 16th century believed he would be raptured. In the time of the American Civil War, the Battle Hymn of the Republic, and the coming of Christ and the grapes of wrath. Remember?
Yeah.
The song?
Yeah.
Okay, so every generation of Spirit-filled Christians should be awake, watching, alert, and believing that Christ could come back in their time. And so we are at that place today. And we have a lot of reason to believe that it could happen very soon. You know, we have a lot of reason to believe that. I mean, you know, Bible prophecy and eschatology. So this is normal for us. And so for somebody to prophesy about Christ coming back soon, that's fine. But we can also turn in the Bible and read about the beginning of sorrows and the evidences of the time. So are you telling us anything really new? Is it really prophesying? Are you really prophesying? Are you really speaking from God about the future? You know, or are you saying what the Bible is saying?
Yeah, that's fine when you're preaching about biblical prophecy.
The reason why this is a little bit of a, you know, to be objective about it is important, but we have in our experience some religious person, and there's a movement where these people are kind of raised up, like they do it on their own, but they feel that God told them. They could be hyper spiritual, subjective, and they could feel very accountable and responsible to go to that meeting and tell those people from God that we are in the end times. And like we don't do that. We would rather people would not feel that pressure. They would be relaxed in the assembly and be ministered to and part of the body of Christ.
Yeah. It's incredible when you think all those Old Testament prophecies about Christ's first coming. There was a time when all it was prophecy, but now it's history. And we could also say that the prophecy that is yet to be fulfilled is someday also going to be history,
mm-hmm.
right? We're going to look
yes.
back on it and say it happened. And I think it's difficult. That's why maybe prophecy, the whole idea of it is so fascinating to people, because it hasn't happened in their mind. It just hasn't happened. So how can we be sure it is going to happen? I think what develops this interest and what piques people's interest is they're going to talk about it. He's going to tell me when it's going to happen. But as you pointed out, you're not going to find that in the scriptures.
Yes, right. Right. Yeah, people are funny. I mean, and to have a pulpit ministry, we think of the churches in Pakistan. We're happy that you're listening to the program, and Pastor Shabelli, Pastor Marian Yoji, myself, Pastor Love, we all care about you and think about you in Pakistan, are thankful that we have this connection with you. And the pastor teacher really is gifted from God with the Spirit of God to teach and instruct and guide people, not in an emotional life or subjective life, and not in hyper-spiritual life, not in legalistic life, but in the grace life, in the Spirit of grace, in the grace of God, in the love of God, and for people to relax and be edified in the local assembly.
Amen. Well, friends, the phone lines are open. You can join us at 800-338-7060. That's toll-free in all of North America. Right here in Baltimore, you can join us at 410-483-3700.
Another thing, Pastor Love, is, and maybe you could share a little bit about it, that did you ever be part of a congregation where there was some kind of legalism or hyper-spirituality in the church?
I've seen it. I've never been a part of it personally, but I have seen it and witnessed it before. And, I don't think it's healthy. I don't think that it produces the kind of peace and rest and relaxation that believers should have. When a pulpit is focused on proclaiming, the whole counsel of God, I think it produces encouragement and edification. There are times when the body of Christ needs to be exhorted, but that's just, I think, another form of encouragement. And I think when that happens, people get built up in their faith, and they're trusting God, they're believing God, and then it results in an attitude of praise, gratitude, worship, and it impacts, as you said, all of those different aspects of our lives, like money, our attitude, our relationship with our coworkers, and our families. It has a ripple effect reaching every part of our lives.
I remember these, when you feel you know, the blessing of God in a local church. And then when you leave the church and you go home and you get in a fight with your roommate, or, you know, you go out, you go to work and you're depressed or you're sad, you wonder, why aren't I am spirit-filled in the church and I'm worshiping God, but now on Monday morning I'm not doing that well. So what would you say to that person? Like, how do they live? You know, how it might be with my Christian brothers and sisters, I'm doing really well, but the people that I'm living with, you know, I have attitudes, you know, I might be, you know, I might, how are you, what do you want to finish my question?
No, that's a great question, because sometimes you can have, in the body of Christ, you have these, like, these mountaintop experiences where you're just filled with peace and joy and
yes,
strength and confidence. And then, you know, you come down off that mountain and into Monday morning.
Yes.
And you're back in the workplace and you're thinking to yourself, why can't I have that? Or how can I take that way of thinking and bring it into my life Monday morning and throughout the work week?
Yeah.
And impact those around me. It is possible. It is possible. And I think that we just need to be, goes back to being controlled by the Holy Spirit.
And wasn't the Apostle Paul the best example? Because if anybody had reason to fall into depression or get discouraged, it was him. I mean, he went, you know, prison cell to prison cell, slandered, abused, physically tortured. I mean, he suffered a lot, and yet he writes about being spirit-filled.
Yeah, and talks a lot about joy.
Yes.
Peace.
Yes, yes.
Contentment.
And I remember being at Eurocon in Europe with Dr. Stevens years ago, and we would drive from Finland to France, and we would be in the fellowship and be refreshed and then drive back. And I wondered, which is the real world? You know, the world that I entered back in Finland or the one that I had in the conference? And driving through Europe to Hungary or Germany, or we had them in different cities in Europe at that time. And then going back, and I just said, you know, it's all the same. It's just that I'm more conscious of when I'm with my sisters and brothers for 3 or 4 or 5 days, I get refreshed and built up, and I realize, wow, we love each other. We're talking about Christ. This is the fellowship. And then I'll go back to being by myself, sitting in a chair.
Yeah. But I think, you know, that those conferences, those times of fellowship, those are the very times that sustain us during those,
yeah,
the real life,
yeah,
that we have to face.
We say, now, wait, this is real. You know, Jesus is in our mouth, right? If any man speak, let him speak the oracles of God, and the Spirit bring it to our heart. And then when we are alone or with a small group, or you know, maybe we're all a little bit discouraged or a little bit, you know, challenged. Okay, maybe now is a time when we have to put on take the shield of faith and put on the armor, the breastplate of righteousness, and put on the helmet and have our sword and live and minister to people that need the message.
Yeah, this happens in with young people as it does with adults. I mean, young people, when they have those, you know, you can have a youth rally, and throughout the whole weekend you're hearing about Christ, you're exalting Christ, you're worshiping Christ, you're talking to other believers, you're saying it's possible I can live this life. And then, you know, it comes to an end. Or you have our camp program, Camp Life. It's so intense. It's so wonderful. It's so encouraging. And you always hear, you know, the testimony of a young person, oh, I wish I did not. Couldn't we have Camp Life all year long?
Yeah.
You know, couldn't we stay here at the rally and not go home? And of course, I think what they're looking at is, I've got to go, now I have to go back to my real life. How can this joy, this strength, this confidence, this hope, this fellowship be translated into my daily life? Yeah. And it is possible, but it's not even, you can't even imagine it without being filled with the Holy Spirit.
Yes, right. So let's build a tabernacle here at Camp Life. Let's build a tabernacle. And the voice from heaven said, this is my son, hear him, right?
Yeah.
Hear him. So let's leave the tabernacle idea and try to freeze this experience and carry it, but let's just leave it, go move on and hear him and walk with him, because he has more for us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think if we look at it like that, like God brought me here so that he could fill me and impart something to me that will help me when I get back to my real life.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, let's go to the phones. Pastor Duke Horton up in Pennsylvania is joining us live in the Grace Hour with a comment. Pastor Duke, welcome.
Hi, Pastor Love. Hi, Pastor Schaller.
Greetings.
This is an awesome program. Hey, I kept thinking while you guys were speaking about Hebrews 1. I think it's Hebrews 1:9 where it's speaking of Christ, right? He loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore, God anointed him above all others, right? All others. And also what you were speaking of a minute ago, Pastor Schaller, and that the gentleman from Pakistan asking that question about, you know, prophetic teaching, or I kept thinking of Acts chapter 1 when Jesus ascended, you know, the angels appear to them and they're gazing up into the sky, and the angel said, you know, why are you standing here gazing up? He's going to come back in like manner. And then the next verses we read, they went and were in prayer. Peter stood up, preached the word. You know, they're waiting for the promise, the outpouring of the Spirit. And then they went and they were fulfilling, you know, missions. And I think it's so awesome to just be, you know, if we are indeed, and I think you said it, we are in the last days, but like you said, Paul thought so all through church history. And any moment we can go up. So I think you said this a month ago, Pastor Schaller, that one man in history said, if Christ is coming, if you knew he's coming back tomorrow, what would you do? And he said, I'll plant a tree. Remember that?
Yes, I do.
It was awesome. So, you know, he loved righteousness, and he was anointed, and we love righteousness, and that's where we're anointed to proclaim that glorious righteousness that comes by faith. And we also behold Christ, but we're occupied with him, and we're, you know, we're involved in what God's doing. And right now he's reaching the lost. He's still building up the body of Christ, and he leads us. And then what greater thing to be found but doing the will of God when he calls us home. Amen.
Good thoughts. Very good. Very good. Yeah, I like that. When you were talking, what came to my mind was, on that cold night, we knocked on doors in York, or where you, that town you're in. What's the name of that town?
Manchester.
Okay, and the next town over?
Mount Wolf. That's where we was, Mount Wolf.
Yeah, Mount Wolf. We went, it was cold, and we were knocking on doors. It was incredible that people opened their doors, and they were very polite, very nice, and we had a fantastic time sharing the message. Sometimes when you go out, you get refreshed. Sometimes when you just open your mouth and share Christ with people, you get refreshed. And that was one of them. That was a great time. So what you're saying, this whole idea of moving, of being led, being guided, maybe somebody listening, you could be led to forgive your neighbor, or forgive your relative. Just forgive them. Go to them and say, "I'm sorry. Please forgive me. And I've been unkind to you. I haven't been talking to you." And you might find yourself filled with the Spirit. And God saying, "That's my will. That's my will. Follow me and trust me. That's my will." Maybe somebody, you're not doing much. You're not motivated. You're not moved by anything. Maybe you just have to get moving. Go to the church and show up and bring your heart. Open your heart before God and be Spirit-filled.
Amen. That's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
That's beautiful. Hey, Pastor Love, I also thought of this when you were speaking about the anointing in John 16, when Jesus is talking about the Holy Spirit, right? He's going to send the Spirit. And he says this, that the Holy Spirit in verse 14, he says, "He shall glorify me, for he will receive from me and shall show it unto you." That's the same thing we do, right? We receive from God, and then we just become letters to, you know, our lives just become an outflow of all that we've received. And in doing so, we're glorifying God by the same way the Holy Spirit is receiving from and glorifying Christ.
Amen.
It's really awesome.
Sure is. Thanks, Pastor Duke. Great to hear from you.
Thank you. Keep my daughter and I in prayer. We're planning to go out again today and reach out to the high school kids. So pray that God will give me strength. And these kids are really hurting, and they're really, really receiving and responding. I'm just so blessed. So pray. And we are planning in the coming weeks to contact you, Pastor Love, and have you come up and reach these kids, okay?
Would love to do that. Thanks, Pastor. And we will keep you in prayer. 800-338-7060 is the toll-free number. And we heard from some folks today. We could scroll down just for a moment, Sebastian. A couple of the brothers had contacted. Yeah, Chad Rockmeyer in Serbia says, "Great to hear the broadcast. A Spirit-led grace life is the best way to truly enjoy all of the perfections of God's word and power, and it transforms us." And he and his wife recently left Baltimore and moved to Serbia, joined the team there. Great to hear from them. Praying for you. Thank God for your life, your ministry. God bless you. And Tess writes, "Thank God that when we're Spirit-filled, meekness, we can hear the clear-cut instructions of our Lord through discerning by the Spirit. Kindly pray for my trip to America tomorrow. Thanks, pastors, for this pivotal message." Well, Father, we pray for Tess, and we do pray for safe traveling to America. And whatever the purpose, whatever the behind the plans of coming here, Lord, we just pray your blessing upon her, great traveling mercies, and a great time while she's here in the States. Thank you for her life of faith. And a number of you have reached out to us. Malaya, all the way from the United Kingdom, says, "Great to hear from you, pastors. Thank you for the broadcast. Great to know you're listening over there in the United Kingdom." Let's go up to David, who's up in Maine. David Norwood joining us live in the Grace Hour. Dave, welcome.
Hello there. I have a very serious prophecy, but I don't have to say it very loud. God told me that within 200 years, most of us won't be here.
Wow, I would have to say amen to that. I think you're right.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, my mom is 90 years old. She's in the nursing home, and she's in hospice, and she hasn't had food or water for, I think, 4 days now. And she'll be leaving, I think, within the next 3 days and going home. And
she's a believer?
Yes,
yeah,
she
praise God.
Went to church in South Berwick and Bath, and even up until a few months ago, she always said Pastor Stevens really understood people and loved people. And
she was part of his early ministry then, huh?
Yes, yes, wow. Yes. The The first time my father took her to church, she was, I'd just about driven her crazy as a son, and she actually had some articles in her purse. She was going to try to end her life there, but pastor preached a message about how your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and she abandoned that idea. And we went on to have some really great fellowship and love between us in the last few years, and God really redeemed the situation. So,
a great celebration awaits her and her entrance into the presence of Christ.
I keep telling her that. Yeah, I don't know if she can hear me, but I do keep telling her that.
Yeah,
so,
keep it up.
All right, you're doing a wonderful job there, and I especially pray for those high school kids. Yeah.
Thank you, Dave. Appreciate that. I'm sure Pastor Duke is listening, and that means a lot. Thanks for the call, brother.
Bye-bye.
Well, Pastor Shallow, just another minute left before we sign off. The anointing, the principle of the anointing, it's a great subject, but again, we don't want to complicate it, and I don't think that we have. We're trying to keep it as simple as possible. It's something for every believer. It's necessary for every believer. It's the filling of the Spirit. It's a Spirit-led, Spirit-controlled life.
Yeah, it's a normal for us as believers to be Spirit-filled. It's the order of things. It's a new nature. It's our new life. Unfortunately, some believers don't walk in the Spirit. They have the Spirit. They are believers. They are indwelt by the Spirit. But the authority of the Spirit is not seen in their life. They are filled with themselves. Unfortunately, it's not normal for them. They live grieving the Spirit and quenching the Spirit as a way of life. And then we should settle back and just say, wait a minute, this Christian life isn't working for me. I should have love and joy and peace. I don't have. Why not? Why doesn't God give that to me? Why doesn't he help me? Why doesn't he answer my prayers? What's the answer, the reason, Pastor?
I think God goes to great lengths to empty us of ourselves so that he can fill us with his Spirit.
Like, hello.
Yeah.
Like, trust me, surrender to me, and change your ways. Turn to me. I will heal you.
Amen. Thanks for joining us, friends. We're out of time on this Tuesday edition of the broadcast. Tomorrow you can tune in live to the Grace Hour. In less than 24 hours, we'll be back with you right here from our studios. Until then, may God bless you.
Thanks for listening to the Grace Hour. Our live program airs weekdays at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. Grace Hour is a ministry of the Greater Grace Church. You are invited to visit Greater Grace at 6025 Moravia Park Drive, Baltimore, Maryland, 21206. For more information, go to gracehour.org or call 1-800-338-7060.